This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
As you came in, you have your worship guide. You might want to take that out. There's a place to write notes, place to kind of follow along. If you have your app on our phone, our app on your phone, get that right. You can take that out and look at that as well. You can follow, you can write notes. And then all of this series, this is the last in the series, but all this series is on our website. You can listen to the podcast, catch up, because we've been working through this for about 6 weeks. This is the seventh week. It's our last in this series that we're calling Step by Step, a how-to guide to day-to-day spirit-led living. It's really about interacting with the Holy Spirit, what he does in our life, and particularly how he works in our life to build what's called the fruit of the Spirit. And for the last 6 weeks, we've been looking at each one of those, sometimes in pairs, sometimes in trios, and today we're looking at a single one, but we're just kind of following through what is it the Holy Spirit does in our life and how it makes us be able to follow him a little bit more closely. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. We're going to put it on the screen, but just a reminder of this list that Paul gives us. He goes, this is what the Holy Spirit does in your life. So when he's active, when he's working, this is some things that you should expect. And it says this, the fruit of the Spirit is first love. We should be more loving because the Holy Spirit is in us and he's working. We should love people more. We should love God more because of it. Our life should be exampled by love. And then joy. Don't we want more joy in our life? When you know Jesus, it doesn't mean the circumstances are always going to be great. It means that in the midst of them, you're going to experience his joy and his peace and his patience. And we should be more kind because he's in our life. We should have goodness in our life and chase after good things. We should be faithful. We should be gentle. And then today we're getting to one that's self-control. Now, when I set the series up weeks ago, I noticed that self-control fell over the Thanksgiving holiday. And I'm just going to apologize for that, okay? So if on Thursday you just completely blew this one, if you're still blowing it, yeah, we're just going to work through it, okay? That's in the past. We're going to move forward. But today we're looking at this word in Greek. It's one word. English, it's two. It's the word self-control. In Greek, just kind of give you a catch-up. A lot of times in Greek, you're working with two words smashed together, and it's the truth here as well. It's the word in and the word kretes, all right? Two words smashed together. In is just like in English, it's in or inward. Kretes is strength or force. It's an inward force. It's an inward strength. It's something that we have because of the Holy Spirit's working in us to be able to do certain things that overcomes what's inside of us, okay? So it's an inward strength. It's an inward force in life. This past week, I think it was last week, I saw on the news about a lady named Willie Murphy. She's 82 years old. Did you guys see this in the news last week? She's a bodybuilder and she's a weightlifter. And last week, she was just minding her own business. She was in her house. There was a loud knock on the door in the middle of the night. And this person says, you got to call an ambulance. I'm in trouble. She refused to let them in. And so this man broke her door down. Well, when he broke her door down, she realized he did not need an ambulance. And so she picked up a table and she hit him over the head with it and she broke the table, okay? He got up again, so she took one of the legs off the table and she began to beat him with it, okay? And then keep him down. Then she jumped on him several times. That didn't work, so she grabbed shampoo out of the kitchen, sprayed it in his eye, just poured it in his eye so he couldn't see. That didn't work, so she grabbed a broom and began to beat him, okay? Until he was just completely knocked out. She called 911, and she can deadlift 225, okay? So she's not, I mean, she's small, but she's mighty, right? And she could not pick him up because he was dead weight, but when the police got there, they found this lady dragging him out of the house, okay? Just get out of my house, just be gone with you. And so he had to go to jail for this, and you can imagine the embarrassment of a young man going before the judge saying, an 82-year-old woman beat me up, you know, but I was robbing her house. But this lady demonstrates outward strength, right? She had strength, and she just demonstrates it every day, but she also has an inward strength, doesn't she? I mean, just the fact she overcame fear and maybe anxiety as an 82-year-old lady, having a house broken into, but also one of the parts of the story was that every day she goes to the Y, and every day she gets up and she goes to the gym, and she works out. She shows self-control or inward strength. I would like to be that way when I'm 82. I'd like to be that way today, right? I don't need to wait till I'm 82. I'd like to have that kind of self-control. As we read through or talk about this subject today, a couple of definitions for you. One, self-control is this. It's the strength to choose and do the right thing. Simply put, it's the strength to choose and to do the right thing, because you can be really, really strong physically and not be able to choose the right thing. And in other areas, you may have a lot of control. In some areas, you have no control. So it's the ability across all things to choose and to do the right thing. Also, we're going to say it's the ability to say no to self and to say yes to God. To say no to self and yes to God is what self-control is all about. We're not going to really look at this too in-depth except to understand this, that when you're able to look at your own wants and desires and you're able to look at your own sinful nature and go, I'm going to say no to that so I can say yes to God is what self-control is all about. It's about connecting with the Spirit because that's what the Spirit wants to do in our life. It's not about being like this self-help kind of thing. It's partnering with the Holy Spirit to say yes to God and no to self. In 2019, I kind of took this on as my thing that I wanted God to grow me in, all right? And so I did a couple of things to prepare for this year. I took a year without soda, all right, or pop or whatever you want to call it. For me, it was Pepsi, all right? I was drinking Pepsi every single day, and I said, I'm going to cut out Pepsi for a whole in 2019. So I'm looking forward to January 1st. I'm going to start it off 12:01 with a Pepsi, I think. We'll see how this goes. But I cut that completely out. It's hard at certain times. It's hard at certain times to do that. But then I cut back to iced tea, and then I was told I had to cut caffeine, so I'm standing up here maybe a little shaky, all right, but I had to cut caffeine a few weeks ago, but it's part of just teaching myself self-control. The other thing I did to kind of get this year going to build that in my life and have God partner with me in this is I decided to walk 2.8 miles a day. It's an average. If you take the math and you multiply it by 365, it's 1,000 miles. So in 2019, my goal is to walk 1,000 miles beyond the normal walking. I'm right on schedule, which is cool. I should finish up at the end of this year at 1,000 miles. Some days I did well, and some days I didn't do well, okay? And I just kind of looked at this and go, how did this help me in life? Well, in some areas, I'm better at self-control. In some areas, I'm not very good at self-control. Like on Amazon, the buy now button, that's a temptation. That's just evil, I think. It's just outright evil. When you look at something you're looking at, it says buy now with one click, right? And it's going to show up tomorrow. That's just really hard to resist that temptation. And Stacy will tell you I'm also really bad about having lunch out. I work out of the house, and I go out to eat. She's not in here, so I can confess it. I won't do it second service. I won't tell her. But that's something I like to go out and eat for lunch and get out of the house, be around people. But that's something I need to cut back on. But one of the things I've learned through this year as I've gone through this and just kind of say, God, help me in this area, is that when I am self-controlled, when I'm disciplined, my life is better. Do you notice that for yourself? It's just better. For me, walking has been really great because I use the time to pray. I use the time to meditate, to think about what I've got to do. And I wrote almost this whole message on my phone while I was walking with my dog or just walking. I would stop with my phone. I would type in, and the whole outline was done on my phone as I was walking, and I would just stop, and God would just kind of speak, and it'd be quiet, and my brain's able to work a little bit better when I'm doing that. When I'm not self-controlled, it doesn't quite flow that way. And I found, too, on this walk this year, I got to see all kinds of animals in God's creation, just spend time worshiping him. Seen, like, birds, like herons, ducks, geese. We've seen deer all the time. We saw a skunk this year. I wasn't real proud of that. I stayed away from him. This year, I got to see I thought it was an otter. I may have shared this before. I thought it was an otter. I called everybody, said I saw an otter. Then my neighbor told me it was not an otter. It was a beaver, which I was a little embarrassed I got that wrong. And then I looked at its tail. It's not a beaver. It's a muskrat. And it's not as exciting to tell people I saw a muskrat. Otters are fun. But to go to somebody and say, I saw a muskrat, they're going, well, who cares, you know? But muskrats are cool. Go look at their pictures. But I got to see all kinds of stuff that I would have missed if I was just sitting at home. Now, put it in your life. If you had self-control, what is it that you miss that's bad that you want to miss? And what are some things that you would gain if you had more self-control? The Holy Spirit was working in your life. That's what we're going to be talking about today. On your outline, I'm going to talk about three ways self-control helps us. They're pretty simple stuff, but just a reminder as we close out this series, and as we're done with this, is maybe some areas that you're going to say, God, I need help in this area. Because again, we all have weaknesses, we all have strengths, and we want God to work in our life to build up the strengths and get rid of the weaknesses, right, as God works in us. Number one on our outline, what does self-control do for us? Number one, it helps us avoid the consequences of wrong choices, right? It helps us to avoid the consequences of wrong choices. That's one of the greatest things about self-control, this inward strength. It helps us avoid the consequences of wrong choices. Old Testament, Proverbs 25, verse 28 says this, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. When you think about what that would be like, in Old Testament times, if you had no walls, anybody could come in, they could take your stuff, they could kill the people in the city. The walls were protection. Now think about people's lives. When they don't have self-control, they become vulnerable, they're open to destruction, lives fall apart. And as I talk about it, you probably know people that have been through certain situations, that they made choices, because of lack of self-control that has brought destruction to your life. You might have experienced that in your own life, where a lack of self-control led to destructive behavior, and you paid the consequences. In Galatians 5, 19 and 21, Paul lists some of the things that can happen to people if they don't have self-control. They're called the deeds of the flesh. It's the sinful nature. Here they are. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious, he says. Sexual immorality. Lack of self-control leads us down that path. Moral impurity. Promiscuity. Idolatry. Sorcery. Hatreds, like in your heart. I mean, sometimes we don't even look at that, but a hatred. And you could put racism in there, too. A lack of self-control. Strife. Like arguments between people, conflict, jealousy, outbursts of anger, some versions say rage, selfish ambitions where you think only about self, dissensions, again in groups it's splitting, factions, again you have different groups with different opinions, they can't get along. Does it sound like our country a little bit? Envy. Sometimes we skip over something like envy, right? We think, okay, look at all these other things, but envy can be something that's very destructive in our life. We can't be happy because we want what everybody else has. Drunkenness, carousing, different versions use different words. Again, I think I said this several weeks ago, we would use the word partying, right? Carousing, they say, and anything similar. And then he wraps it up. I tell you these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice is a huge word there. It's not a one-time thing. It's something that's a lifestyle. If this is a lifestyle for people, he said, for those people, they're not in the kingdom of God. They're not experiencing God in their life. They're not experiencing his fullness in life. And you can kind of look at that list and go, okay, I can see where that applies. Contrast that to the fruit of the Spirit, which are all positive things that God's doing. These are very negative. In a room like today, a group of people here between first, second service, we're going to have people that have someone in their family that has outbursts of anger, right? You may have grown up in a household like that, just someone with rage. And you know what it's like to be around someone like that. You're walking on eggshells constantly. Because here's the deal with these things. When you don't have self-control, it destroys your life, but it's also like a bomb going off to the people around you. So if you grew up in a house with a lot of rage and you couldn't express yourself and you were constantly waiting for them to blow up, you learn to be quiet. You learn to go off by yourself. You learn don't rock the boat. Don't cause any problems. Because rage, outbursts of anger, destroys everyone around them, doesn't it? It's a lack of self-control. Sorcery is an interesting one. I mentioned a few weeks ago the word there in Greek is pharmakia. It's the word for drugs. It's how people in the times of the Old Testament would kind of interact with the spiritual world. They would take hallucinogens. So sometimes you'll see that word as drugs. Most of the time you'll see it sorcery or witchcraft. And in our culture, go, that's no big deal, right? That doesn't exist. In year two of our existence as a church, we had a lady come that was part of Wicca. Wicca is white witchcraft. She came to church trying to find something different. At the time, I had a co-pastor, Mario, and he and I went to her house. She had all kinds of stuff in her living room. She was scared. She lived in fear. She could not sleep. She was in bondage spiritually. And so we sat down with her and talked about how you have to get this out of your house, or there will be no peace. There will be no joy. And Wicca is one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. It states in the Bible, it's a lack of control over self or seeking power in evil instead of power in good. And just think about drugs for a second. You ever been around someone that's addicted? You had to deal with that in a family situation where it brings destruction into the household, where they begin to steal, they begin to destroy, they begin to fall apart, and someone needs to help pick up the pieces, and maybe you've been in that where this just brings a different kind of life into a household. Drugs can be very, very dangerous. In our life as a church, we've dealt with heroin addicts. When they're off heroin, just lovely people, amazing people. The ones that I'm thinking of, when they're on heroin, they are dangerous to themselves and to their children. And it's been a hard walk with some because they want to get clean, but the power over them is so strong. Not as powerful as the Holy Spirit. The power is so strong on them, it's hard for them to break out. How about sexual temptations? I mean, the first three are listed there, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity. These things are destructive to the person and to the people around them, aren't they? It's a lack of control over self. They pursue these things. When we were in California, Stacy was on staff at a church of about 1,500 people. She had over 500 volunteers in her program. It was a big church. And for about 3 to 4 years, we went through this terrible time where the youth department, the student department, where we had a minister, one of the guys, got involved with pornography. He was doing it on the computer at the church, lied about it, got fired. And think about all the consequences of every child, every student that went through that program going, if they can't do it, then why can't, then I can't either. And they would just quit. One of them had an affair with one of his assistants. They had a child together. Both were married to separate people. That was very destructive. And then Stacy and I had this young couple we were pouring our lives into. We ate with them every Wednesday night. We found out that he was having an emotional affair with a high school student. And his father, as he was growing up, used to keep pornography in the bathroom, in the open bathroom in front of everybody. And he'd gotten addicted to that. And the destruction of that cost them a marriage. And we talk about these things, and it was tough to talk about on a Sunday morning, but just say when the scripture talks about things like that, it's to say this is reality, this is truth, there is darkness, but there's also light. You want to walk in the light. Self-control is one of the most important things that we can have for our own life and the people around us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 talks about a universal law that God has given us. And maybe you know this verse. It says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. It's the universal law of reap and sow, right? What we give our lives to, we will sow. We will receive the consequences of it, whether it's good or bad. And that just falls for everybody. Maybe people won't know for a while, but eventually it's found out. Eventually it has its consequences. And God says, I want you on the path with good consequences, not with the ones with evil. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, God kind of gives us a reason that we should trust for his faithfulness and how self-control helps us. Paul writes, he says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. One of the best promises of God. When you are faced with a temptation, I'm going to give you a way out. I'm going to give you an escape. It may be you're going to have to like get out of where you are and just leave. It may mean a whole new lifestyle. It may mean moving away from certain people. It may mean turning off the TV. It may mean getting rid of a subscription to something. Whatever it may be, he says, I'm gonna give you escape. And what the self-control does in our life, it helps us to take it, to choose it. I want that. And self-control helps us to take that route. So number one is avoid the consequences of wrong choices. That's what self-control does. Number two, on the more positive side, it helps us receive the benefits of right choices. That makes sense, right? The law of sowing and reaping fits for positive and negative. You can have the negative consequences or you can have the positive consequences of walking with the Holy Spirit. The benefits of right choices. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul writes, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. In other words, athletes exercise, they put in self-control or discipline, and they train, and because of that, they get what's called an imperishable crown. Just know when Paul was writing, the Olympics did not get a gold medal or silver medal or a bronze medal, right? What did they get? They got laurel wreath. It was a little crown made of laurel leaves. It only lasted as long as the leaves lasted. The idea they would send to their athletes is, okay, you won, celebrate it, but then it's going to die and you get back to work, all right? You're not going to have this thing sitting on your shelf the rest of your life. Train, use self-discipline, and get a crown, or get a prize. Same thing works with a Christian. Train, show self-control, let the Holy Spirit work through you, and you will receive positive results, what he calls an imperishable result, things that last. Do you guys know the Olympics isn't this coming summer, this next summer? 2020, it's in Tokyo this year. Tokyo is spending billions of dollars to get rid of it, or get ready for it. You know what's probably happening today all over the world? People are training for the Olympics. Marathon runners are out running, whether it's freezing cold or whether it's raining, they are out training right now. There are weightlifters training today, right? There are people working throughout the world in gymnastics. They're swimmers. They're all kinds of stuff. They didn't sleep in today. They're going to eat right. They're going to prepare, and they're going to get ready because they are gaining or looking for gaining a medal. And this is their life. It's showing a lot of self-control. For the follower of Jesus, we can chase those things. That's great. But even the greater thing is chasing after the fruit of the Spirit. I want those positive things in my life. I want those good things that God has for me. I don't know if you know the story of Bert and John Jacobs. I don't know if you've heard of these guys. And they're brothers. In 1994, they had a small t-shirt business, and they couldn't sell any t-shirts. They would go show up at races like and try to sell t-shirts, so they got caught because they weren't licensing them correctly. And they would show up wherever there was a crowd and try to sell t-shirts, and they couldn't sell any t-shirts. Till one day, one of them accidentally drew a circle and put a smile on it, all right? And that's when the Life is Good company was formed. They took those t-shirts out, and they sold 48 and 45 minutes. They said, this is a good thing. All right, let's do this. And they began to make t-shirts about what's positive in life. In their story, they talk about how life is not always easy. Life has its ups and downs. But ultimately, life is good. And now it's a multi-million dollar company. Well, that's great, but then think about what it means to be a Christian. As a Christian, we have so many good things that God has prepared for us. He said, just chase after that. Life is good for those of us that follow Christ. In our men's group that we call Be Strong, we're reading a book by Gene Getz. It's called Measure of a Man. And this last week we read this, and I want to use this quote. It says, the only way to true happiness and lasting joy and pleasure that satisfies is to live the will of God. It's to live the will of God. Chase after that. That's where good things are. God has a plan for your life, right? Do you know that? God has good things for your life. He wants you to follow his path, not because he's mean or he wants to be God king. I mean, he is that already. He says, I want good things for you. It may be tough sometimes, but you're going to find the most joy when you follow me. 1 Corinthians 10:23 puts it this way. He says, everything is permissible. You can do a lot of things because of freedom, but not everything is helpful. Sometimes we choose things that are just not good for us. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. He says, choose those things. That's what God wants for us. In Chip Ingram's book, Good to Great in God's Eyes, he has a chapter on being self-controlled. It's called Habits. And then he talks about how his family one year decided they would not watch TV on school nights. And for the first three nights, they about killed each other. Said, we can't take this. The kids rebelled. They tried to get them to change their mind. They tried to be bad and everything. And said, we're not going to live that. But after three nights, they said, this is not working either. So they said, let's try it. So they began to play games together, game nights. Then the kids decided, hey, they had an instrument. They were playing instruments at school, and they were doing different things. They said, why don't we practice? We have time now. We don't have anything else to do. And kids, I'm sorry if you like TV. I'm going to apologize for telling this story because we're not doing it at our house, okay? Maybe later. But he talked about how he was doing it and how they began to play their instruments and how they started doing better in school and how the family started to build relationships. And during that course of time, they got so much closer because as they demonstrated self-control and turning off one thing, they found better things that build them up. What's that for your life? What would that look like for your life? Kind of picture of life where you've got this freedom in your life to choose, but you choosing the things that are helpful and the things that build up. Maybe you are doing regular exercise and kind of picture in your mind, what would it look like to be really healthy? What would it be like to be really healthy? Maybe you're kind of picturing your life, what if I had self-control with my spending? What would that do to my life? How much better my life would be if I had savings built up, if I were spending on things that were important? What if you had self-control over anger? What would your life be like then? How would your family life be different? What if you had self-control in many other areas? Picture how your life would work and how God would have that in you. This week I saw this graphic, and it really talked about what this means. And it says this, Jesus did not come and die for me so that I could live a defeated life. Isn't that great? Jesus did not come and die for me so I could lead a defeated life. He came so we could live an abundant life. There is victory in Jesus. There is hope in Christ. There is a way through the darkness. There is a way to overcome. Sometimes we're just defeated because we've been defeated so long in certain areas. We just kind of throw our hands up and go, I'll never find freedom. And Jesus says, in my power, you can have freedom. And that's what he came to do for us. God's will in our life is good. The third and last thing that self-control helps us with on your outline is this. Self-control helps us grow in our daily walk with the Spirit. This daily walk with the Spirit. One of the greatest things that we can have. Self-control allows that to happen. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says this, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, it's good to train our bodies, that's good, but godliness is even greater. It's of a value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Self-control training is good for us because it helps us walk with Christ. Chip Ingram also tells this story in the book Good to Great. He talks about how he was in high school and in college, and he wanted to have a closer walk with Jesus, and he wanted to do a quiet time, but he couldn't get up. Every morning, he would set the alarms, and today I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and every day the alarm would go off, and he would click it for sleep in, like snooze, and then he would miss it. So he turned to his roommate one day. His roommate was a college wrestler, heavyweight wrestler, and he says, look, I can't get up. This is what I want you to do for me tomorrow. If I don't get up, I want you to get me up. And he says, are you sure? And he goes, yes, I want you to get me up. He goes, can I do anything I want to you? Yes, you can do anything you want to me. Just get me up. So the next morning, the alarm goes off. Chip Ingram said he hit snooze, laid there, and his roommate says, are you going to get up? He says, nah, let's not do it today. Let's start tomorrow. I don't feel good today. It's not a great day. And his roommate says, do you remember what you told me yesterday? He says, yeah, but just forget that. We're going to do that tomorrow. I kind of pull that back. His roommate says, okay. And then his roommate got up, grabbed him by the ankles, held him upside down, walked him into the bathroom, put him in the shower, and turned the water on. This happened two more times. After that, he never, ever had to have anybody in his whole life get him up, right? He developed the power he needed to get out of bed because he said, I need you to do it. Sometimes we need someone else to trigger that in our life. That's what the Holy Spirit does, right? In your life where you have an area where there's a lack of self-control, the best thing is to tell God, hey, God, I need your help. I want to do this. I want to spend time with you. I don't have the power to do it, but you do. Would you help me to do this? I saw this saying the other day. It goes like this. Faith gets us started. Self-control keeps us moving. Right? Faith gets us started. God, I believe you're going to work, but every day, self-control is the thing that gets us going. It's like a flywheel in a car. If you know what that is, it's a wheel. You get it spinning. It gets a lot of momentum going, and every now and then, you got to add a little bit of energy to keep it going, and it just goes faster and faster. Here's what I believe happens in our life. You go to God, you say, God, I need help, and he gives you the power to overcome. And you see a little victory, and you see what he's doing, you get encouraged. That causes greater things in your life. You get encouraged from that. It just gets that flywheel going faster and faster in your life, and you get moving faster and faster. You build momentum faith-wise, and then you see God doing greater things. You get more excited, and it just builds that way. But you got to get it started, and that's where faith comes in. God, help me. And every day, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome. In Greek, there's a couple of words for strength. One is krates, I've already told you. The other one is dunamis. Dunamis means big power, all right? We get the word dynamite from that. The scriptures tell us the Holy Spirit only comes one way, and that's with dunamis. Inside, we have strength for self-control, but the Holy Spirit brings dynamite. It's the difference between trying to dig a ditch with a shovel and digging a ditch with a thing of dynamite. Not that I've ever tried to do that, okay? But it's just the difference. It's just so much more powerful when we give it over to Christ. And give it to him. The Holy Spirit can move into your life with power, real power. Our key verse for this whole time, our other key verse is Galatians 5, 24 and 25, and this is what it says. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. They did not die to that. But if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Every day, the Holy Spirit power in our life. And it starts with surrender. This whole series is really about what I'm about to say now. It's about surrender to the Holy Spirit. It's about kind of throwing up our hands and going, I've tried. I've tried to love, and I don't love the way I'm supposed to. I want more joy, but I can't make it happen. I want peace in my life, but I just have stress. God, I need to be more kind, but I can't make myself do it. I need to be gentle. I want to chase after good things, but I just don't do it. And I don't have any self-control. And when you surrender that way, when I surrender that way, you know what happens? God says, now I can work. Now I can work in your life. Now you're clearing the decks. You're allowing this to happen. Now I'm going to come in with power. And that's what he does. And that's how lives are changed and transformed. Last verse, Romans 8:13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is where real life comes from. Giving your lives fully to the Holy Spirit, walking day to day in his power. And he said, that's where life comes from. So today, I don't know where that is. We all have areas where we're a little weak. Sometimes we have areas where we're really weak. Let's today just give that to the Holy Spirit and say, I surrender this. I surrender this part of my life. I want you to work. I need you to work. I need your power in my life. I need the Holy Spirit. So as we pray, just kind of think of, what is that area? Maybe it's the whole life. Maybe it's your whole life. Maybe it's a specific area that you're not finding victory in. Maybe you know someone that needs this prayer. Let's just kind of pray and give that to God now, to act of surrender. So let's pray together. Father God, as we come to the end of this series, let's come to the end of looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Help us not to forget that it's all about walking step by step with the Spirit at every moment of every day, of just giving him our life. So today, Father, we bring to you maybe something specific, an area of our life that we just really need to see you work. Whether it's we don't have love for others and just, or we need to experience love. Or maybe today we came in and our joy is just not happening and we're just giving that over to you. For some it may be peace, they're just stressed out and we need to give that over to you. For many of us today, Father, just based on this passage, it's self-control. There's an area in our life maybe that we're just not seeing you work because we're trying to control it ourselves and we need to give it over to you because our strength is not enough. And maybe it's an area of sexual immorality. It could be area of drugs or alcohol. It could be anger. It could be envy. It could be that whenever we go somewhere, it just causes friction and conflict, factions, dissensions, whatever it may be. Father, we just want to see more peace in our life. Whatever is the day, we just give it to you as an act of surrender, as an act of faith to see you at work. So, Father, we give you this thing, whatever it may be. We ask you to work. And may the power of the Holy Spirit come in each life. And may we find victory and freedom. And may you be that true way maker in our life, that miracle worker that really brings change and transformation. Father, we want victory. We don't want defeat. So I pray that over our whole congregation, and thank you for the reminder, we need to be dependent on you. We cannot do it ourselves. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, if there is an area, if you want to write on a card that you want prayer about this, if you want to put in there like some sort of just broad generalizations, I just need more self-control, write that on your card, and in the time of communion, just bring it up and put it in the offering bag, and we want to pray with that for you. If there's people that want prayer, we'll meet you up front. There's a couple of rooms that we've kind of gotten ready. We can meet you for prayer. I can talk to you in the lobby, and just want to be praying with you and for you as you go through this time of seeking God's help in this area. As we prepare for communion, just I want to share a verse with you, and then we're going to do this together. Here's your verse, Romans 8, 1 and 2, one of my favorites. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There's a difference between consequences and penalty. Consequences we may have to deal with because we live on this earth where it's broken. That's consequences. But penalty is when we have to pay for what we've done. And what this verse says is you don't have to pay a penalty. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You can have freedom. You can have victory. You've been set free in Christ. And every time we do communion, just remind yourself, I'm eating the bread and I'm drinking the juice that represents the body of Jesus who frees me from sin. And there is no penalty and there is no condemnation and there is no one pointing fingers at me. And there's nothing for me to worry about judgment because I am free and forgiven. We're going to pray, and then if you're a Christ follower, this is open for you. We have three tables up here. Just take the bread and juice. You can pray up here and receive it. You can go back to your seat. We're just going to have a time of connecting with Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, in the midst of this service, this is always a sacred time. Not any more than any other time, I think, in life, because sacredness just means we're set apart from you, that you are here and that your presence is here. And we never go anywhere where your presence is not. And because of Jesus Christ, we stand before you as innocent, as forgiven, as free people with no condemnation because of what he did on the cross, not because of any self-righteous thing that we did, but because of his actions. And as we eat the bread and drink the juice, we are reminded of his sacrifice. There's no more guilt. There's no more shame. There's no more looking back. It's all about looking at the cross and seeing Jesus and celebrating him. And we pray this in his name. Amen.